Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We are going to continue our conversation in this hour and in this program about a book that we've been discussing for a little while now. It's been phenomenal. The book is called The Harvest, and it was written by Rick Joyner. Rick Joyner wrote this book over, maybe 25 years ago.
25 years, yeah.
And this book was a result of a vision that the Lord gave him relating to the end time harvest. And that it was basically unparalleled, like nothing the world has ever experienced. And it's going to be amazing. And we've been taking our time reading and discussing and sharing. You know, I have found out that, 63% of people would rather get electrically shocked than to learn something new. So we're helping to ease the shocking by...
We'll learn it together.
We'll learn together. And just sit back and enjoy the conversation. But we've been talking about chapter 3 in regards to the magnitude of the harvest. And hopefully we'll get into the travail of the Spirit. But this whole chapter is dedicated. There's subtitles, if you're following along with us, called The Darkness and The Fishnet. And also, let's see here, Mending the Net. And so... we're going to continue to talk about this and really kind of begin to unpack it, because there's so much in this. There's just so much. And it's so encouraging because there's many people who have been witnessing, you've been sharing, you know, you see things that are happening and they're getting darker and darker in your eyes, and you're wondering, what's going on here? Where, you know, are people coming to God? Listen, it's coming. The wave is coming, and we're going to be living in a season where you just open your mouth and people are going to be coming to the Lord like never before. And many, many young people are going to be used powerfully, powerfully during this time. And I want to read a section. This is under the fishnet. It says, the Spirit is compelling pastors to get with other pastors, prophets with prophets, apostles with apostles, and even whole congregations are beginning to visit and interrelate with each other. Congregations apart from their own circles of emphasis. This is the Lord's doing, and some of these meetings may seem fruitless because of the improper agendas, but they will bear fruit. They will be links made. Soon, the Lord's presence in these meetings will melt all presumption and all the facades which separate us from union with Him and each other. And so there's coming a time where people are going to get outside of just where they've been gathering. They're going to be connecting and relating to the body of Christ at large. And it's one thing that we don't need to do. There's not a vacancy in the Trinity, so we don't have to step into the Holy Spirit's role. There's not a vacancy there. The Holy Spirit is in charge, large and in charge, and He can orchestrate, He can gather His church, He can do what He wants to do. I think the most challenging part is going to be for a lot of people is to get out of His way and allow God to do what He wants to do in the last days. He has a work to do, and He's going to do it with or without you, but how much better would it be for us to cooperate and be in step with Him?
Yeah, just talking about what you're saying is that, the Holy Spirit knows what He's doing, and what I thought was so powerful is that Rick Joyner continues on. He's just saying the fact of just how powerful this upcoming move of God is. And basically on the next page on the bottom, he's basically saying that he says only the Holy Spirit can order this work. And he is now starting to take his authority. He says, those with a control spirit will be the greatest opposers of every move of God until the end. And I think that is so powerful because it's just like, what God is going to do is beyond our understanding. It's beyond our control. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's just like if man's going to try and step into a place of leadership or step into a place of influence and say, okay, I've got to control this. And it's just like, you can't. And it's just like what God's going to do is greater than anything of it's just beyond us. Yeah. All we're going to do is just say, hey, God's doing something. It's God. Go after God. Go after God.
It's pretty amazing. He says, he continues to say in that same area, he says, those who have been truly ordained by God and not just an institution will become increasingly determined to give up control over their people and circumstances deferring to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So though they're going to be more open to saying, oh, you know, let Holy Spirit have your way, the control they relinquish will be replaced by spiritual authority grounded in the peace and rest of God.
Mm-hmm.
God will increase their authority. And then he goes on, what is coming is beyond any man's ability to control.
Right.
I mean, it's as if you could. What's coming? It's like, get out the way or get mowed over because... Mm-hmm.
How do you control a tidal wave?
Exactly.
You know, it's just move.
Yeah, just stick your oar in it, right?
Yeah,
on your surfboard.
Only the Holy Spirit can order this work, and he is now starting to take his authority. And those with the control spirit will be the greatest opposers of every move of God until the end. And this is true, because you see that happening. I mean, that's a manifestation of a religious spirit as well, because every great move of God, when you look at it, there was always those that who didn't get into what God was doing. They were the ones that were taking the rulers, they were measuring, they were accusing, they saw one thing that maybe, because, you know, when revival comes and a great outpouring is happening, it's not going to be perfect. Why? Because God doesn't use perfect people. So there are going to be some things and some issues that may not be absolutely right or perfect or, you know, the ideal situation, but that's okay. Since the Holy Spirit's the one who poured out the Spirit, since the Holy Spirit's the one that chose someone to move in that way, hey, it's good. And this reminds me of the revival in Wales, the Welsh revival, because that move of God was so powerful, sovereignly by God. The entire nation was touched. God used many evangelists, but one of the main evangelists he used was Robert Evans. And the whole thing about Robert Evans' ministry was that he completely entrusted himself and the work of what God was doing to the Holy Spirit. He completely got out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times where he would not even go up to speak. In fact, some have said, I didn't say this, but it's written in Rick Jordan's book that he wasn't even a good preacher. They said he wasn't even, and Rick says it's because God didn't need another teacher or a preacher. This is what God was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about the teaching or the preaching. This was God's move. But what happened that came to an end of the Welsh revival, and this move of God happened in 1905, right before the Azusa Street revival. What happened there was that a woman by the name of Jessie Penn Lewis, who used to attend the revival, was used to actually bring an end to the revival. She had this thing going on where she thought that Robert Evans was taking center stage, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's something that he, in his heart, did not ever want to do. That's something he was careful of. And Rick writes in a previous book that, you know, a strength that is not in check or submitted to God can eventually become our weakness. And because she came in and was able to say, hey, listen, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to, and he listened, he was fatigued, he took a break, and before you know it, they never heard of it, you know, the revival stopped.
Right.
Wow. And so Rick Jordan says that, you know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, does God move with one person, or if this is a sovereign move of God, could anything have happened? Why did he need one person? And basically, Rick Jordan says, get over it. He says, from the very beginning all the way till now, God has always looked for a man.
Mm-hmm.
He's always looked for a man to partner with. And so we got to get out of this thing, because if we start, you know, moving in the sin of a religious spirit or measuring or what we think is ideal or what we think the Holy Spirit's supposed to do or what we're supposed to do, instead of letting the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do, you know, we're going to mess it up.
Yeah, that is so powerful, because that whole concept and that understanding of just like you're getting so rigid, you're getting so focused on how things should be. You know, that's what Rick writes about. And right after what you had read previously, he says, some who were greatly used of God in the past have become too rigid in doctrinal emphasis, or are too entangled with spiritual, quote unquote, Ishmaels to participate in this revival. Some of these will try to join the work, but their interrelationships will be so superficial that they will quickly be torn from the net in the first catch.
Mm.
Those who are linked together by doctrine, those who gather to personalities or who are motivated by a political spirit, which seeks to unify around human alliances, will quickly be torn away. And this is the powerful thing. He says, only those who are joined by and through Jesus alone will stand the pressure this harvest will bring upon the church.
Wow.
And it's just like, there's nothing else that's going to hold you in what God's going to do other than Jesus Christ. And that's the huge thing that we've been talking about before. It's like these moments that are really going to expose the souls of men, what they think, what they want, what they feel. And it's just like, what are your true motives? What is the true intentions of what it is that you're doing right now? Are you doing it for your kingdom? Are you doing it for a paycheck? Or are you doing it to make the name of Jesus famous?
Motives are all going to be weighed out. We're reading this now. Maybe this is for you.
Yeah.
You know, get your motives right before God so that you won't be on the sideline when this great move of God comes. And we're continuing our conversation on the book called The Harvest, written by Rick Joyner some 25 years ago, a prophetic vision he received. And the reason we're reading it is because a lot of it has come to pass. Actually, we're led by the Lord to read it. And there's still more yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about the magnitude of the harvest that he was shown, what is going to happen in this end time, last day, huge harvest of souls. And we're getting to the part about entering into his rest. Talk to us about that.
Just recently we were talking about, you know, your motives are going to be exposed and it's going to be important, you know, how we relate to other people. Are we doing it for God? Are we doing it for ourselves or what have you? And what is so powerful in that is he talks about the pressures of the harvest and the magnitude of the harvest and the things that are really going to be going on. But what he says, the cords of unity must be very strong to withstand the pressure. Those who have not learned to take the Lord's yoke instead of carrying the burdens themselves will be overwhelmed. Entering the Sabbath rest of the Lord will become a major emphasis in the preparation for the harvest. We must heed this word. And that is so powerful because we shared a segment previously about the fact that, you know, the grace of God and understanding, like, when you come to that moment of pleading, it's like, I can't do this, it's too much. That's when you're beginning to understand the yoke of Jesus. He says, take my yoke upon you, for I'm easy and my burden is light. Mm-hmm. And he says the fact that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And we have to have that time of rest, cause just like what you're saying in that, and I forgot his name in the Welsh Revival.
Robert Evans.
He didn't have that time of rest. He was trying to do it, and so much so that he got worn out. And we need those around us, those brothers and sisters, that family in Christ to say, hey, it's okay. Take a day off. Go sleep. Just do nothing. Because without that rest, you know, the word says that it becomes do, and then they ended up falling back and getting ensnared.
Yeah.
And we have to have that vibrancy. We have to have that time of being able to be rejuvenated, to have that energy to do it again.
Yeah. And that's really rest, those that are in the front lines. I mean, those that are going full speed ahead, because the truth is that many right now believers are in a continual place of rest. They're the ones that need to be mobilized.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's always like I hear folks are going on vacation. Like, normally vacation comes after hard work. I mean, but it's a lifestyle of vacation. You're on vacation every day, you know? Yeah. And it's like, wait a minute. And so rest is not for the people that are just resting, right? But resting is resting for those that are on the front lines to take care of yourself spiritually. But in general, we all enter the Sabbath rest, which is Jesus. And that's not striving in works and what we're able to do. But being able to rest in the finished work of Christ and being able to rest in what the Holy Spirit is going to do. We're just tools in his hands. We're not the operator. He does what he wills, what he wishes, and we just submit and go along with him for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
But in this section called True Conversions, this is so powerful, I thought. And Pat, I want to get your thoughts on this as we discuss it. But he says a large number of who are now considered Christians have never been led to the Lord. I'm going to read that again. A large number who are now, right now, considered Christians have never been led to the Lord.
Wow.
They were led to the church, to a personality, or to a doctrine or emphasis. Some of these will think that they are important links in the net, but will actually become part of the harvest.
Wow.
starting over again on the proper foundation, which is a relationship with Jesus. And I've been saying this for a long time, that there are a lot of false converts. And a false convert is someone who just said that, you know, one day I'm a follower of Jesus, you know, I believe in Jesus, but they've never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They're not discipled growing in the foundation of God. And the enemy, the Bible tells us that the enemy comes immediately to steal that word. And now, because they attach themselves to a quote unquote church or a group of believers or maybe to a pastor or to a doctrine, that they're more united with the doctrine, they're more united with the actual physical building that they call the church than they actually are with Jesus Christ himself. And so there's no relationship there. There's no encounter with God. They've never accepted the Lord. I know that's something that we've discussed from time to time, you know, and how important that is.
Yeah, I just don't see how, if you call yourself a Christian, how that's even possible. I mean, if you call yourself a follower of Christ, which is what the word actually means, and you never actually become a disciple of Christ, you know, what are we doing? I mean, what is the church, I mean, you know,
in general
doing? I mean, whatever it is, it's not working.
Right. You know? Yeah, because that is so true, because how many times you're like, well, what's God saying? Well, if that's true, I mean, think about it. George Barna tells us in his research that 81% of believers are not even reading the Bible, people that call themselves believers. Only 19% are reading the Word, and of that 19%, only 3% of the 19% actually feel responsible for their own spiritual development. And so, you know, you don't become a Christian just because you put on the T-shirt and you know what I'm saying? You don't become a football player because you walked into a football game. You don't become a Christian just because you walked into a church and you say, yeah, that's a good idea. You become a Christian when you encounter Jesus. And I like to use the word, you know, follower of Christ. You know, why? Because you follow him. You know, but today in America, different parts of the country, everybody's a Christian. And that messes so many people up. And what Rick is saying in this book, that there's coming a point, a defining moment, there's coming a time where people are going to have to draw the line in the sand and realize, I was calling myself a Christian, but I'm not a Christian.
Yeah,
I need to give my life to Jesus. And a lot of people are they're looking at Jesus as a way of life. They're trying to apply principles of the Bible to their life, but they're not making Jesus the Lord of their life. I mean, how many times do you see this where folks that don't want anything to do with Jesus, listen to me now, don't want to fellowship, don't want to come into the gathering of believers, they don't want to abide, but they would call themselves Christians, and it's time to get married, they'll say, hey, I need a minister to come and perform this wedding ceremony, and let's do this, and all that, and you realize, do we understand what marriage is all about, and why God instituted, and how the husband represents Jesus, and the bride represents the church, the bride of Christ, and it's an image, and God has clear expectations for how we're supposed to walk this new relationship out. He has special instructions for the husband, special instructions for the wife, and that this is what God has instituted. I didn't ask for all that. I just said, can you just come up here and, you know, do your thing? And it's like, that's not going to work. You know, that don't work. You know what I mean? We have to make him the Lord of our life. Jesus is Savior and Lord. And if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And that's the whole deal. He needs to be the Lord. He needs to be the Lord. He talks about how denominations are in extra fellowships. A lot of people are going to be leaving those. He says, and they're just going to be just joining together. They're going to say, this is what God's doing, and we just want to be a part of it.
Yeah, it makes me think of, you know, we've talked about it before. When you look in the book of Acts, you know, Paul says, you know, which baptism did you receive? And the disciples that who he was talking to were quick to say, you know, we had the baptism of water, we had the baptism of John. And it's like how quick we are to respond to our denomination or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, but what about Jesus? You know, Jesus didn't say anything about a denomination. He said, follow me. And it's just like, you know, I remember hearing somebody once say the fact that Christianity is not a lifestyle. Christianity is a man. You're following the ways of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. You're following how Jesus lived his life, what he taught, his values. And it's just the fact that what Jesus says is right and what Jesus says is wrong. And I think that's so powerful, too, because when you understand the fact that I just follow what Jesus says, and we hear it many times before, it's just like, what do the red letters say? Share all the red letters.
Yeah. Read all the red letters, and then once we follow Jesus, we realize that his life becomes part of our life, and that everyday living becomes about honoring him. Whatever he says is what we do. That's why he's the Lord. He's the boss. He's the head person. He's the one in charge. You know, ask your opinion. Well, I don't know what God says about that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't make any decisions outside of the instruction and the wisdom of God.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.